Since we had Bible school in here this week, and we had this set up last week, things weren't normal in here, and we're all in a round, so to speak. And so today I thought, well, since this messes with me terribly up here, because I got to spin around and talk to you people and hope I don't step off the platform, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just not a easy thing to do at times. So I figure, well, I'll just mess with your minds too. Because I'm out of my comfort zone here, so you can be too. So I want to get our attention. If you put up this first scripture, and it's Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. Let's read it together. Here we go. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered right. Do this and you will live.'" Now, if you'll back it up to verse 27 and just keep that up there. I want to talk to you about worship today. And since we're in this kind of setting, it's not normal. And I'm out of my comfort zone. Some of you may be too. I don't know whether you are or not. But I want to talk to you about what worship is, what it embodies. If you look at this scripture right here, the way that you inherit eternal life is you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then your neighbor as yourself. Well, the essence of love is one of the biblical theologians, he said, love that goes outward, that's loving your neighbor. That is affection. Love that stoops is grace. Because like you take your hold of your two-year-old grandson or child or whatever, and you bend down and you take that hand, that's grace. That's love that stoops. Love that goes upward is worship. And that's what we call it, come here to do. Worship embodies this scripture. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and with your mind. True worship is love. Now, worship embodies all of these things: body, mind, soul, heart. Now, true worship is love. Now, the first thing that happens in this, when you come to worship, this is what it is. We love God with our body. 90% of life is just showing up. That's right. So we've done that. You're here. We've done the first thing. We've showed up. Instead of doing other things this morning, like my neighbor was out there cutting grass. He may still be cutting grass for all I know. He decided that that was the priority, where he wanted to put his body. I was on that riding lawnmower and doing that rather than recognizing God in his life or anything like that. He's just out there cutting grass. Somebody was probably out on the golf course. But you came here. You have made this a priority by walking in the door. You're loving God with your body. You put your life on the line for a few minutes here. And I know there are a lot of people who make excuses for not going to church. You know, I try not to be the reason you don't come to church. When I was in high school, I remember sitting up there, and man, it was tough listening to some of these guys that got up in front of us, because they would just bore us to tears. And you know, I don't want to be part of the reason you don't come excuse, but even if it is, it's still just an excuse for not coming to worship God. That's the first thing that we do. We show up. That's what you've done this morning. Everybody else are doing other things, and they may have their excuses for what they are worth, and that's part of it. So you're loving God with your body, which is part of these, how we take that. The second thing is our minds, our intellects, what we think about. Worship is loving God with our minds. Some of us have come to church, and it really has to do, it's just an intellectual exercise. That's all it is. You come to church, and you come here to think about God. No emotion involved in that. Just so the first half of the worship today, we've kind of taken all the music out of it. And we're just doing it with body and mind. That's all we're doing here. We're going to think about God. We're going to think about what we do in terms of worship. So the first half of this service is of worship today is really about our bodies and mind. There's no heart. There's no soul in it. It's intellectual. We're thinking about it practically, what it is to love God with our minds, logically, and that's worship. Now, men do this more than women do. You gals like to get into the music and everything, and I watch this happen, and the men are kind of, we're kind of like wallflowers. I'm one of those, you know. I sort of get involved in it, but I'm not really terribly involved because I like to think about God. Men more than women. So right now we're just using our minds. You've got your body here, and here we are in terms of this. So there's no music. There's just our minds. So I'd like you to join with me in a call to worship. Now, if you feel like something's missing today so far, it is. This sanctuary has been dedicated for the purpose of worshiping God. We invite you to share in this worship experience today. As we worship today, let us become actively involved as worshipers rather than passively watching someone else lead the service. That was interesting. There's an echo in here. Let's read the prayer of invocation, the Lord's Prayer. Eternal Father, whose presence has been felt in the hearts of all who have ever worshipped you, ever since the creation of man, we come today at your request to feel your presence in our hearts. We want to express our praise and adoration, listen to your word, and turn from our sins in a deeper commitment to you. Draw us out of our passive observance into active communication with you, that all of life may be our celebration of your presence. We pray through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, you might have music at this point in time in the worship service, but we don't have any music yet. We're just using our minds. Our bodies are here. Unless you fall asleep, then you're only your body's here. You're not using your mind at all. Sometimes we have a prayer of confession. This is basically a generic kind of prayer that all of us are repenting, realizing that we are sinners in the sight of God in need of His forgiveness. Now, normally at second service, we don't have this prayer because we have no sinners at second service. We only have them at first service. But I thought maybe today we would just do the prayer of confession as a token of our own repentance. So let's pray together. We've come to church many times, Father, but confess that many times we have daydreamed instead of worship. And what could have been a wonderful experience was an empty fulfillment of going to church. Forgive us for not getting anything out of it when you have been here trying to give us something. Forgive us for depending on others to perform our service of worship for us. Forgive us for letting insignificant distractions prevent us from enjoying the blessings of our presence. Lead us by your Spirit, that we may regularly have a wonderful celebration with you in this sanctuary each Sunday, in Jesus' name. Now, if you were first service, then I would assure you that you're forgiven. I would say something like this. Jesus died for you. He took away the sins of the world, your sin, my sin, to forgive us. And then we would sing something called the Gloria Patri, which is glory to the Father. But since we don't do that, so we're going to read our glory to the Father. And Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7, We're just reading now. We're not singing. Let's do it. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. For his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel for... Oh, come... His hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. And then Psalm 100, which is also another praise psalm. It's actually a song. Let's read it. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, that would be a song of praise at this point in time, but we're not doing that. We're just using our minds and our bodies at this point in time. I want to take a couple minutes for prayers, and I want to pray for this group of high schoolers and their coaches, the adults who went with them, and I just want to lift them up to you, and I'll say their name, and you just pray about them. There's a picture of them up there. Of course, you're going to close your eyes and put your head down so you can't see them, or whatever. Let's pray. Lord, I bring this group to you that went out left yesterday to go to Dallas to do some mission work down there. I ask that you would bless them with your presence, that you would keep them safe, that they would have mechanical grace when it comes to the car and the van and all that goes with it. And I pray that you be with them. I pray that you would also, as they serve in this mission work, that you would make your presence known to them, speak to them concerning their own lives. We pray for those that they touch with their lives as well, that they might experience your presence through our kids. We pray for them by name. Cody Carlson, Hannah Gadberry, Stephen Woods, Dylan Ostramsky, Andrew Newsom, Brendan Kuzel, Marshall Brown, Haley Rogers, Allie Jafrida, Bailey Schnitzer, Bailey Stoner, Austin Durbin, Bree Lockwood, and Brittany Richter. We also pray for those who are serving with these kids and the adult version of this mission trip. Kathy Having, Mark Daniel, Mark Gadberry, Danielle Wright. And we lift them all up to you, and we ask that you would minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. You kids want to come up here? I want to talk to you for a minute. We're going to move around. We're going to go on a journey. Come on up here, though. I want to start from here. How are we doing? Good? I want you to join with me in a walk. We're going to walk someplace. You know, we're doing worship differently here today than we have in the past. We're actually not doing any music at this point in time in the service, and so everything's kind of drab that way, and it's just kind of like a Bible study or something like that. So come with me. Everybody, come on. I want you to walk up. Can you bring the lights up here? There are people in our church who help us with worship. Did you know that? We have a group of people that are up here. They're not a band. They're a worship team. And their job is to raise our hearts so that we can lift our hearts and our voices in praise, in love to God. And what they do is they come together and they work together. Now, one person sits at this piano machine. I don't know what it's not really just a piano. It can do all kinds of things. And Michelle, where are you? She's up there. She's up there right now. And she sits here. Now, come here, come here. Come on back here. And I'm going to just do it by guitars here. There's a person who plays this guitar. Is that you, Doug? That's Rob. Rob, where are you? Stand up. He's a part of this church, okay? And they lead us in worship. And this is who today? That's Doug. Here, stand up, Doug. Let him see you. Okay, that's Doug. Now, who's there? John Wright, are you here? Who's up here today? John Wright's right back there. He's standing at the door. Look around. Turn around. You know him? He's your dad? Really? Well, he plays the drums. Okay? And then we have a group of people that come up here and sing as they lead us. Now, all you singers, stand up. I got another one. Yeah, I got another guitarist. Rick Welch, stand up. He plays the bass guitar back there. Now, who are the singers? These are singers out here today. Anybody else that sings up here occasionally? Anybody stand? Okay? Now, they sing. Now, let me tell you something. I figured this out a long time ago because I used to do some of this stuff too when I was young. They are not a band. They are a worship team. And their job is not to perform for us. Their job is to raise us up and make our hearts so that we will worship God with song. And that's our heart and soul. That's what they're here to do. Now, I learned a long time ago, I was in a singing group with about 10 guys. And when we sang, we would all just kind of get around a piano and sing to one another. And what you have out here today is the people are going to be singing to one another at some point in this service. Right now it's kind of drab, nothing's happening. But we're going to do that. But this group up here leads us not in performing, but in worship. And so I would like to just get us together here, right here. Let's pray for the worship team because they are here to help us worship. Okay? That's all right. Lord, I lift this group up here that plays and leads us and sings in worship. I ask that you would give them a heart for worship, a heart to raise us up and to be our servants in the part of worship where we sing, so that they would lift our hearts to your throne of grace. And I ask that you would bless them, those who play, those who sing, those who have sung in the past and played in the past, and those who may come and do it later in this church. And I pray for them in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming up. Body, you show up. If you stay awake, you love God with your mind, heart, and soul. Part of how we love God is with our strength. And that may have to do with you doing a physical job outside or somebody like me that uses his mind a lot in terms of what I do for work. But part of the way we love God is we bring our offerings. That's why we do it. And sure, the church always needs money for this or that. Like right now, we're working on this playground out here. If you got extra money, please give to that. Or we're going to try and pave this side over here, which is turned to gravel. If we get the money, we do that. And sure, we got to do all the lights in the other building because they're 65 years old or whatever, and the ballasts are going bad on them, and we got to do that. But the true reason you give is not only to meet the needs like of the church or our mission work or stuff like that. The true reason you give really has to do with your relationship with God. As I said, love that goes outward is affection. Love that stoops is grace. Love that goes up is worship. And part of that is the worship of our lives, and that usually comes through the giving of our money. So let us come before God with our tithes and offerings. And once again, there's no music. Well, actually, so far we've had no music. So we've just had deep thoughts, right? Using our minds and our bodies, we showed up. We've used our minds, and that's what it is. But I know this truth. There is a child in all of us, about 8 years old, I figure. And that child in all of us is the part that is called our heart and our soul, the part of us that maybe came to Bible school this week. And I noticed that those kids, when they got up here and they were dancing and carrying on and singing and everything, they didn't think about anybody else, and they just were doing what they do as a child in all of us. You know that people's concept of God most of the time comes from our childhood in some form or fashion. The child in us that does that. And I know that for a lot of us, that in our childhood, we had a time when, well, God's up there, not here, and I don't know if I really want to have anything. I'm not even sure that God can be trusted. And for some of us, we grew up in churches, but religion kills people. Maybe some of you have suffered that death over the years. Religion kills people because religion basically is what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes were all about in Jesus' day. And Jesus knew this. And it's all about the do's and it's all about the don'ts in terms of things. And nobody's good enough. And a lot of times that's the way we grow up in the context of our churches, or the way we feel in the context of our churches. And that feeling is the emotional part of us. It's the child in us that speaks to us. And it's no wonder that the child in us doesn't let God get too close to us a lot of times. Because the God that we sometimes see in religion has all these rules and do's and don'ts, and he's a rule maker. And we're not in relationship with him. And so I run into this with a lot of people a lot of the time, that they just do not have any kind of relationship because their context of religion has killed the relationship possibilities of God in their lives. And yet I try to tell people, it says, you know, Jesus even told us one time, he says, God is not just a rule maker. He's in relationship. Philip asked him one time, he says, Lord, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And Jesus came to be in relationship with people. He didn't come to condemn. He came to be in relationship. I think in some ways, our worship is kind of like Bible study on Wednesday night that we do here. It's a little bit stale and drab, and it's dull, if no other reason. There's no heart and soul in it. Now, I'm a man, so I think of, you know, I'm more of a logical kind of thing. A lot of men don't like to sing or don't get involved with that, and I'm sort of that way. I mean, I can't say that I'm not, but I let that child in me come alive a little bit in terms of this, but I'm logical, I'm rational, I'm intellectual, and I love God with my body and my mind. But a lot of times you don't feel it in terms of that. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the music of our souls. It's not just mind. It's not just your body showing up. It has to do with our worship. As we go through life, our worship can be very stale if all we do is think about God. You know, have those deep thoughts. Worship like this, without any music, it's kind of like watching a movie that is in black and white. And I've got a cut out of The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy hits the ground in that storm, and it's still black and white in that movie. And I want to show you what happens when things change. Now, I want you to notice something there. It wasn't just the fact that it went from black and white to color. Did you hear it? The music started as well when it went to color. And so you weren't just seeing it with your eyes, you were hearing it with your soul as well. And one of the things that happens to us is that our worship with music has to do with, like, watching that movie. You know, we need a little heart in this worship service as well. You know, otherwise it's just kind of like, I'm telling you about worship and Bible study. It's a Bible study on worship, you might say, but it's a little bit hollow. It's kind of like Tin Man. There's no heart. So, Michelle, you and the worship team want to lead us in worship. Please be seated. Music is actually the language of the soul. There's a child in all of us, I said, about an 8-year-old, I figure, that child in us. It loves God with heart and soul. Now, you can't do that by just talking about it or thinking deep thoughts, I don't think, anyway. If you don't sing, you're a little bit handicapped. Now, I watch people when I do worship. That's observation. And I see some people who do not sing during worship. And I remember the first time this happened to me, I was in a singing group, and we were doing a women's great banquet entertainment, and there were about 10 of us, but that weekend I had laryngitis. And I remember that all I did was stand up there with the group, and they carried it and everything, and I just mouthed the words. But you know, there was just something missing. It was a high moment for all the people involved in that weekend, except me, because I could not sing. I was unable to sing. I know this, that music is the language of the soul, your heart. You see, singing is loving God with our heart and our souls, and music awakens us emotionally with feelings and things like that. It expresses those emotions. You can do it with songs, different kinds of feelings with songs and emotions as you do this. There is a incident that occurred in the movie Cool Hand Luke, and if you haven't seen it, it's really good. I would like all the people who have been to prison and done prison great banquets, please stand. Or those who have been in prison. Okay, you guys, those of you who have actually been to prison, you kind of get a feel for this. Now, in this cut from Cool Hand Luke, he's singing a song that was a parody, that it was actually mockery, written as a joke and mocking the Roman Catholic Church. But you're going to watch this, and it's going to change that whole thing. It's not a parody. It's not a mocking song in this. Luke's mother has just died, and he's in prison, and he cannot get out to go to her funeral and spend that time with her. Now, I've actually had a couple of men come up to me and say that one of their parents has died, and they're unable to get out and go to their parents' funeral. Well, this was what happened in Cool Hand Luke, and the song was actually called Plastic Jesus, and it was written as mockery.
Sandstone setting on a pedestal of our lonely shell. Going 90, I ain't scary, 'cause I got the Virgin Mary assuring me that I won't go to hell. Get yourself a sweetener, Donna, dressed in rhinestone, setting on pedestal of abalone shell. Going 90, I ain't scary, 'cause I got the Virgin Mary assuring me that I won't go to hell.
You could take a song that's mockery, really, and he turned it into an emotional moment, a powerful moment, a worshipful moment in the midst of that thing. I once went to Vienna prison down in southern Illinois, did a weekend down there, and at the closing, these guys would get up and tell us what it meant to them. But one guy got up, and he sang a cappella, and he sang it on key with power that I have never seen. He sang, "He touched me." Powerful moment. For a lot of people, it's a powerful moment when God touches you. You guys want to do Amazing Grace? Things to us, but there are some songs that are just basically love songs to God. Not quite normal here. We take a lot of these secular love songs, we just translate them. We read those two psalms, Psalm 95 and 100, and those are praise psalms. And finally, there's music that just gives praise where it's due. Loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and worship is love that goes upward. May the Lord bless you as you go from here today, and you're welcome to join with the worship team in the last song. May God bless you.